This is text for making the audiobook of the second volume of Spirit World and Spirit Life, and is called Life Here and Hereafter. Remark: this is not the Borgia book of similar title that was received and published many years later. So this book is then a sequel or second volume of Spirit World and Spirit Life, and taken down by automatic writing, received mostly through the pencil of Charlotte Elizabeth Dresser, Cis, born 1875. Edited by Fred Rafferty. Author's Edition, San Jose, California, 1927. Life Here and Hereafter. Copyright 1927 by Fred Rafferty, Santa Ana, California. The text has been proofed by Jeff Cutler, and the page size reset to A4 in August 2007, so that it can be printed easily on modern page sizes. I do not wish to claim any copyright in the typesetting or layout of this work, and it is offered freely to anyone for any purpose. 3. Preface. In a former volume, Spirit World and Spirit Life, the conditions and activities which prevail in the future life are quite clearly portrayed by selections from our records received through automatic writing. In giving to the world a second volume based on these records, which have been received mostly through Miss Dresser's pencil, we have in part to emphasize a phase of that life that most books of this nature have mentioned but little. It seems so vital to our friends on the other side, and they have made it seem so vital to us, that we feel it a duty to present it fully. Some may question our judgment in giving space for so many of the accounts, but we want to try to make the world understand that it is a very real condition. Time and time again it is impressed upon us that most people here are, through ignorance, and sometimes through willful ignorance, placing obstacles in the path of their progress which will cause them much trouble and delay when entering upon their spirit life. It is with the hope that these accounts will remove a little of that ignorance, and aid in understanding the life on the other side of the veil, that they are given to the public. They are not fiction by any means, as the reader will soon ascertain if he uses his brain to try to comprehend what they really mean. The other sections of the book are given over to further selections from our records on various subjects, some of which are more fully treated in the previous book. It is hoped that this volume will meet with as friendly a reception as did its predecessor. As stated in the introductory chapter, the editor of these writings did not acquire the ability to receive messages until some 2 years ago. A number of the various articles that have come through his pencil are included, and it may be advisable to designate them by the following page numbers: - not currently available due to reformatting. All the others, with the possible exception of one or two paragraphs, came through Miss Dresser's pencil, as stated above. Fred Rafferty, Charlotte E. Dresser, Santa Ana, California. October 19, 1926. Contents index are not read here in the audiobook, and book as text to follow is also copied on galactic.no/rune/spoker/spiritworld_elizabeth_dresser_1875.pdf. This for making the audio files now, in January 2015. Numbers or digits read are for the pages in the book. 7. Introduction. Communications from the spirit world come in numerous ways. The most voluminous records are probably those made by automatic writing, where the medium, sometimes entranced, but more often not, writes ideas and statements that are seemingly more or less foreign to the conscious thought. This method undoubtedly lends itself readily to the operation of the medium's subconscious mind, and, unquestionably, much that there purports to be from spirit sources originates in, or at least is greatly modified by, this little-known portion of the mentality. But there are often evidences in the manner or the content of the writing that, to a truly unprejudiced mind, indicate a source entirely outside the medium. The editor believes that the material included in this book belongs in this class, although it is hardly possible here to enter into much detailed explanation regarding the proof of it. It is hoped that the reader is familiar with a previous volume called Spirit World and Spirit Life, where some of the proof is set forth, and he is also referred to the article on the subconscious mind in the appendix of this book. To aid those who have not had the opportunity to read the first volume, some facts should be presented here that will make clear the origin of both books. For many years, three of us were in very close friendship and companionship. We were together much of the time, and traveled extensively over a good portion of the globe. The constant association led to the adoption among us of the intimate appellations of D, Sis, and F. R. Late in 1917, our joys were rudely interrupted by the death of my wife, D. Sis had always looked forward to, or at least hoped for, a future life. I had seldom given the subject a thought. But in less than a year, through table tipping at the home of some friends, and later through the UI aboard by ourselves, we were drawn into communication with unseen forces that soon proved themselves to be Dee and the friends she had already made in the spirit world. Communications came rapidly. Information was given freely. And we were soon made acquainted with the life and conditions in that farther existence. The leader at the communicating circle on that side gave us her name as Mary. And Mary and Dee have now for over 8 years been in almost daily touch with us. Sis soon developed automatic writing under their guidance, and, after repeated trials extending over more than 6 years, my hand received the gift also, but in a rather unusual manner. For despite the hundreds of trials, I cannot receive an impression unless Sis's hand is placed on mine. The writing is usually a little freer if she places it on the hand that holds the pencil, but much of my writing has come when her hand is placed on my left hand, which is quiet. In 1922 we published a portion of the writings that came through Sis's pencil under the title, Spirit World and Spirit Life. This book has just been reissued in a slightly revised and enlarged form, and an acquaintance with its contents will aid somewhat in estimating the value of the statements made in this volume. 8. The first volume deals with communication, evidential messages, the spirit body, spirit life, progress, music, art and beauty, etc., an engaging description of the life and happiness of the spirit who is advancing joyously towards life's goal. But as our education advanced also, we were made aware that not all spirits enter at once into these conditions. We learned that very, very many are more or less delayed for various reasons, and that some encounter obstacles which hinder their progress for long periods. It is to this class that part 2 of this volume is devoted, and we trust the reader will study it carefully and thoughtfully. It is a subject that has been brought to the attention of very few people, but is one that concerns each and all of us, if we wish to avoid the effects of selfishness and materialistic thought, and participate without unnecessary trouble and delay in the glories of the heavenly existence. 9. Part I. Life in the Spirit World. Belief in spirit life. We know your great desire to learn the truth, and we are allowed to answer that desire, for we are the truth of life eternal. We are the proof of the further life to which all must come. And we are here to give unmistakable evidence of the life eternal. We too are mortals, we too suffered the earth life with all its mistaken beliefs, its poverty of thought and ideals. But even so, we are here to bear testimony to the final uplift of the soul, and its indescribable power of growth and progress. Believe in us, believe in a just and true God who adds to our poor earth-born lives, with their darkened beliefs and groping knowledge, the pure heavenly existence with its first real liberty of choice and progress. Why do you say the first real liberty? Because we began our earthly existence with tendencies and characteristics for which we were not responsible, and which fettered our liberty. But do you not begin that life still fettered by earth-born habits? Yes, partially. But think how many chains have been removed: physical weakness, the fight against poverty, the necessary effort to gain a living, race problems, and many others. We are at least free from these. It is a sorrowful condition we behold on earth, and we wish to try to give a new thought that will turn the world to better things. It is not easy to say something really new. You have exhortations from the pulpits that should be sufficient. But they seem to have lost their effect. We know that materialism is leading many into habits of life and thought that will defer their awakening and advance here very seriously. This is not necessary for most of them, for they are not evil, and in many cases not especially selfish. But the strong thought that they hold, that there is no future life, reacts upon them to such an extent that they fail to respond to the influences hereafter they arrive. We have no influence upon such people while they are on earth, of course. If we did, they would not be adopting these wrong beliefs. First experience is I am not a novice in this life anymore. I have been on this side for 15 years, and have been in active service most of the time. But I was a beginner at one time, as all are who come here. No one arrives with full-fledged spirit powers. It is easy for some to begin to use their spirit sight and hearing, but it was difficult for me. I had not given a thought in earth life to what would be necessary in this. I did believe in a future life, and I was not long in a really unconscious state after arriving. But I was grievously disappointed at first that I did not find the beautiful heavenly life which I had been taught to expect. It was not entire darkness, I could see dimly. But all that was visible was drab and unattractive. 10. I could hear nothing, and could see no living being. You can imagine a little how surprised I was and how puzzled. I knew that my earth life was over. I had been very ill, and had been conscious until nearly the last. So there was no misunderstanding about the fact that I had died. But I could not understand what existence could mean, where there was so little I could see, and nothing I could hear. After a time, I don't know how long it was, I realized that there were other beings near me. I was conscious at times of shadow-like forms that moved. I watched them, trying to understand what they meant. I was not particularly interested, for I did not in the least suspect that they were beings like me. If I thought anything, it was that they were animals of some kind. I was, of course, not in full possession of my reasoning faculties. When spirit first throws off the material envelope, there is a shock common, not always a severe one, but often sufficient to leave the mentality in a dazed condition, hardly more than a dreamlike state. If I had then possessed full powers of reasoning, I could no doubt have soon concluded that the shadows meant something to me. But at first I simply watched them curiously. They came and went, sometimes a few, sometimes many. I think it must have been months before it dawned upon me that they might be spirits, and then I began to really think things out. I first concluded that possibly spirit was always rather ghostly, possibly these shadows were only conscious of me as a shadow. I pondered over this for some time. I finally concluded that there must be more to heaven than such shadowy creations. Something must be wrong somewhere. I made no attempt to study myself, I only wondered about the others. Why were they unable to make a more solid appearance? It was a long study, and only after extended cogitation did I suddenly begin to wonder if the fault might lie with me. This thought interested me tremendously. I began to speculate on what spirit sight might be like, and I soon saw that it would necessarily be different from earthly sight. I was not successful in my conclusions at first as to the method by which I would have to see, but I was able to perceive things more plainly just because I realized that I myself was the one at fault. When we realize our own shortcomings, a great advance is made toward eliminating them, no matter what they are. I was soon conscious that I had greatly increased my powers of vision, for I could now see these other beings quite plainly. And I saw that they were conscious of my presence, even seemed to be trying to communicate with me in some manner. But no sound whatever reached my consciousness. It was a great relief, however, to discover that there was a change taking place, that I was really able to see things. I was amazed at the beings I saw. I could not believe now that I was in the right place, for I could not conceive that I could belong with such wonderful beings. You must understand that a spirit who has arrived at a full understanding of the life here, and who feels the urge to live the life of spirit love and service, such spirit expresses the purity of its character by its outward appearance. Not only the features become wonderfully beautiful, but the garments likewise are glorified. And to my unaccustomed eyes, these spirits about me could not be less than angels from on high. I could not feel I belonged with any such advancement. So I wondered and waited. As I watched, I became aware that these glorious shapes were communicating with each other. 11. I studied this over, and as my mind became more active, I realized that hearing must be a spirit power as well as sight. No sooner had I reached this conclusion than I was conscious of sound. And, oh, the sweetness of that first musical tone. Heavenly music indeed. I was entranced. I was in heaven after all. Not only were the beautiful angels, but I surely was going to hear the heavenly choirs. It was not long before I could hear spoken words, and then everything was soon explained to me. It was a day of joy, an exhilaration that I probably will never experience again. But there has been no disappointment since. My education was not rapid, but I advanced surely, and I am now experiencing the pleasures that I only faintly glimpsed in the teachings of my earth life. When I first became able to understand the spirits about me, I was not sure that I would ever be like one of these wonderful beings, but I did begin to realize that there was opportunity for me to learn more of my new surroundings. I was never much of a student on earth, and so for a time I was content to enjoy the beautiful scenes about me. I was curious, however, to learn what made the difference in appearance between myself and the others, and my questions were freely answered. I was told that it was necessary for me to work out my own advancement. I was to learn from all sources that appealed to me, and when I decided what I most wished to take up as a study, the rest would be easy. I was not interested at first in the work they were doing for the new arrivals. I was too much occupied in using my newly found powers of sight and hearing. I was selfish, of course, in not thinking of all that had been done for me. But I had not been a model of unselfishness on earth, and my character did not change at once. I was gradually drawn to the work of helping others by the fact that several whom I had known on earth came to this side, and my curiosity led me to watch them. It was not long until one of them began to regain consciousness, and I was eager to welcome him and explain to him what I had learned. In this way my work for these new spirits was taken up, and for a long time I did little else. I was being slowly educated in spirit life by all that I saw and heard around me. And my inquiring mind finally caused me to realize that there were higher things to learn. I was not much inclined to join any class for study, but I did take time to go to other circles and see what was being done. I had always been interested in music, but it was never a musician. It was something I never felt I could master. When I listened to the wonderful music here, I was enthusiastic over its beauty. I wondered if it might be possible for me to do anything with it myself. I was led to undertake the study, and I am now progressing slowly. You will wonder why I am selected to tell you of my life here, for I have nothing novel to relate. My experience could be duplicated in most ways by thousands of others. I was well known on earth, and my name would be recognized by many. I am sure, though, that most of my old friends will be amazed to learn that I have decided to study music. I was a politician on earth, and was more interested in swaying the opinions of other men than in educating any special talent in myself. I was always interested in seeing my political party in power, and bent all my energies towards showing the people that it was the proper remedy for their ills. I was not a married man. I lived in an eastern city, and was known as a good fellow. 12 there and in other cities where I had occasion to go. I was a traveler to some extent, having visited Europe a number of times. I never held office myself, and was never a candidate. I wonder if you will be able to get my name? The student, a new personality, appeared one evening with questions for us to answer. He proved to be an earnest seeker after information, but his first questions aroused our suspicions as to the sincerity of his inquiries. The whole interview was an entire surprise, and should cause the skeptic to think long and carefully if he is inclined to place the origin in the subconscious mind of the psychic. Such persons always try to make the subconscious mind more wonderful than it really is. Sis took up the pencil with the intent to ask Mary some questions, but there was no wait for them. The pencil began at once. "Will you take a message from one who wishes to communicate? Is it anyone I know? Will you try to listen to what he says? Is this Mary? Will you try to take his message? Who is writing? Are you anyone I know? Will you try to take his words? I want to know who is writing first. He is known here as a student of theosophy and would like to tell you of his conclusions. I would like first to know just who you are. Will you be patient while he explains? Are you the ancient spirit who once tried to write? No. I am not the one whom Mary refused to allow. I am a student of many things, and am very much interested in the various beliefs of the future, for even here there is room for different beliefs and creeds. I am not convinced of the ways of the Eastern philosophers, yet their reasoning is often eloquent and persuasive. What do you believe is the final condition, the ultimate fate of the soul? We do not believe Eastern philosophy, but rather that there is progression on that side as on this, and that progress continues indefinitely. Will that theory be received by logicians, do you think? Will you tell me if many believe in eternal progress? Will you tell me your reasons for believing it? 13. That is what we have been taught from that side, and it appeals to our reason. Is it better than a state of heavenly calm and happiness, nirvana? Or better even than a return to earth to live out other and higher lives? But we are told that the soul does not return to earth. That is the opinion of many wise ones here. I am asking for the wisdom of the earth mind and desire only. Many here believe in reincarnation, but it seems so much more reasonable to us that progress goes on from there, rather than to come back into the sins and sorrows of this world to try to progress. It would seem to offer much more happiness to leave all earthly troubles behind forever. That is admirable, and looks like true happiness, but I wonder if it is the truth? Cannot you find out if it is the truth? I am interested in developing myself by study and by contact with the thoughts and beliefs of others. Then why do you not seek the highest teachers there? I shall some time, and will apply myself closely. But at present I am trying to get at some consensus of earth opinion. If I were looking for higher things, trying to learn of final conditions, I would not look backward to earth conditions. You do not quite understand me, I am sure, and perhaps it is not necessary. But if one should be a teacher of the progress of life on earth, would he not begin with the lower forms? Are you a teacher? I am trying to prepare myself for a teacher, and I have a certain delight in studying the evolution of belief in the past, and the probable evolution of belief in the future. I am still wondering why you do not try to get this from teachers there. Will you believe that I am not a foolish inquirer? I am truly working along the lines I have described. The spirits here have evolved too far to be a beginning of such history, and I have wished to go back to the earth and start at the beginning. You are a long way from the beginning, but yet a link in the great chain of evidence. How I wish I could show you the infinitely subtle and varied changes from age to age, from soul to soul, each age leading a little higher in effort and belief, each age overcoming much of superstition and ignorance. Just now belief and faith on earth are being made so complex by the shadings of philosophy, psychology and other new thought, that it is hard to move on or up in a straight line. But I tell you the study is fascinating. And so, 14, you will see it someday. You look for an abiding place for your faith. I am studying the different phases or abiding places which have served for millions of years. I am not frivolous, I am interested, and preparing to help others on this side when I can. Well, it has seemed to us to be far more satisfactory to go on developing ourselves, our personality, our individuality, continuously on that side, rather than to strive for a state of calm, an eternity of perfection, where one, as Mary had said, would have nothing to do but to contemplate one's own bliss. You have said it. To all of which I say, Amen. Then why are you a student of theosophy? Well, are you not interested sometimes in even heathen rites? I am. Yes, certainly, as a matter of history. Well then you can guess the interest I have in this study. What is your opinion of the final goal? We are not told definitely. Do you think there would be much of interest in life if every step of the future could be seen? Would not life pull and become uninteresting? We are left much of the old adventurous spirit, we are constantly stimulated with the problems that appear before us. And because the earth people cannot understand, they unnecessarily find fault with the difference of opinion expressed on this side. They do not know that because of the freedom of thought and study on this side our lives are full of tremendous interest. To learn, to know, to choose the wisest and best. That is life. A year or two later we asked again for this writer or student. He was sent for and wrote, I am here and glad to come, what do you wish me to talk about? It has been a long time since you talked to us. What have you been doing meantime? You may well ask what I have found of interest in that time. The year has been fruitful of all things that make for progress and knowledge. I have gone on with my efforts to study the philosophies of different minds and peoples. Have you been long in the spirit world? Not many years, but they have meant much, meant more than a lifetime on earth. We have been reading articles in the magazines that are rather disheartening to one who looks at the spiritual side of things. Scientists are busy supporting material doctrines in so many cases. They have about reached the limit in their particular line of reasoning. Science and, page number 15. Scientific investigation seem to develop a high degree of intellect, but they lose out on the spiritual side. Now, the belief here is that as all of this investigation fails to account for life and progress, infinite progress, eternal progress, they will finally, as a last resort, turn to the spiritual side of life again. Somewhere in the mind and soul of man is the unsatisfied longing for a greater perfection of life and character, a desire for something beyond the fevered struggle for mortal existence, something to rest upon. And through this desire the spiritual side of life is bound to awaken. It is the thought here, and we wait confidently for man himself to demand this last and highest evolution. Referring to the magazine articles again, we said that some of the writers seem to think that religion was just a passing phase. Religion is a phase, but is the highest phase, and will not pass away. The germ of this religious longing existed in the life principle, and has kept pace with man up through his whole career, not always wise, not always even spiritual, as the pagans have shown, but always the longing for something higher and better. This is the God-given part of evolution. It is difficult to convince some. The convincing part will come of itself eventually, for it is inherent in the soul. Our fear is that so many are ready for an excuse to turn away from any spiritual demand, ready to make the most of a material existence, that all morality will be destroyed? That tendency will destroy morality if it conquers the world. But it will not conquer. We here know that, and already see the signs of a higher thought and the rebirth of spirituality. Forces are at work on both sides here, but a higher force than either will finally conquer. A few here believe that, and also profess to believe that a spiritual leader will soon arise. Not as a messiah, but as a spiritual awakening and a joining of that life to this : the study and practice of drawing near to us, and of finding the proof of this life over and over again, and the education spiritually that will come from this phase. We spoke of the discouragements that appeared in so many ways. You must stop measuring and stop doubting. Give the truth to the world as you see it, and let this truth do its own work. Do not worry. It will all come about at last. Study evolution as I have done and see the slow growth of character and knowledge throughout uncounted ages, and comfort yourself with the belief that you are putting a thought here and there, planting it like a seed which will spring up and bring a larger harvest than you imagine. We see the increase in wickedness and crime, and we grieve over the chaos. We know of the cruelties there. But we also see the tenderness that is given to those who have come through the shadows to us. We mean the innocent sufferers from earth's cruelty. As to the criminals, be sure their crimes must find atonement before they can come into happiness. Justice is a big word, but it is the foundation of kindness. 16. We do not look upon the world as you do. The hopelessness, as it seems to you there, is illumined by our knowledge here, and our unfaltering faith in the powers of good. We believe in God, in all and through all and over all. And we have proof of his existence that you cannot have there. We never doubt the final outcome. But the way is long, and at present filled with pitfalls and darkness to the eyes of mortals. Do not fear. Work as you can, and trust for the rest. The partners, when our leaders on the other side were away one evening, the time was filled by another member of their circle who wrote through my pencil as follows: "We would like to tell of our experiences, as they are a little out of the ordinary. We are two who were associated in business in earth life. We were in a western city not far from Chicago. We were not very well educated, but had many years of business experience, and had always been together. We were not interested in books or reading of any kind, except the items of local interest, and occasional articles that were concerned with business. We talked a good deal with people whom we met, and were, I think, considered intelligent.